Can we stand up with our Bibles? I want to prophesy. Amen. I'm picking my thought from 1 John chapter 1. There is a presentation that he has made, which is, I'm also towing along the same line. Verse 1 and up to verse 4 for a text, and then we will sit down and I'll make a few comments that will encourage somebody in this journey we have undertaken from earth to glory. Verse 1, 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, the we there is the apostles, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. What is it? It is of the word of life. For the life was manifested. Because we are all dead. We are all dead. All human beings, we are dead. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. He said, we have seen it. We have seen it. They, the apostles, we have seen. What have they seen? They have seen, hallelujah, that life that was manifested. And bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Sit down and please pay attention this morning. There's something that a pattern God uses. There's a promise that He gave Abraham and his children, fulfilling it through Moses. There's a promised land they are supposed to go to. And remember, all the Old Testament makes us understand the New Testament. The New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. And just before they will go over, the servant of God leading them decided he will send some elders to go and confirm so that they can come and tell us so that we can have confidence in the journey we are taking to the promised land. So he sent the 12, how many people did he send? 12. 12 elders, one from each of the tribe, to go and spy out the land. And they went there, they saw, and they came with two different reports. Because they were two groups of people. One, which is the majority. Oh my. The majority, 10 out of 12, came with a different report from the minority, two people. They all saw something, but the report they are bringing, well, there were two different reports. I am speaking something that will help someone this morning in your journey of life. What gave rise to this exhortation is, as I just meditated, there are things, especially when you watch the television and you watch these channels and you're watching everyone displaying what they have. Every church, every minister you see preaching, he is giving a report of what he has seen. And you cannot be a witness of what you have not seen. Amen. Everyone that is preaching is giving you a picture of who he has confirmed Jesus is. What he understands to be salvation. That is what he's preaching. What he understands. And there are two groups of people preaching again on earth today. One group is saying it doesn't matter. Another group is warning you. There is danger. Based on what they have seen. They all supposedly had experience with Christ. That is why they are saying, I am in the ministry. And supposedly leading people to where they have seen. And the question is, amen. Praise God. Everyone is looking for eternal life. But what is the definition of eternal life? John chapter 17. By the words of Jesus himself. This is the way he put it. From verse 1 up to verse 3. He says, this word spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Watch the language that is used. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. That is where I am going. What is the definition of eternal life? Verse 3. And this is life eternal. That they, who are those they? Those that the Father has given him. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is eternal life. Eternal life is in knowing who Jesus Christ is. Who the true God is. That is where you will get eternal life. That is where you will know eternal life. I am trying to knock off religion from somebody's brain. So that your pride will not rest on the church you attend, but your pride will rest in the fact your boasting is that you are in Christ. You know him. The songwriter, you know, ironically, you see, the mystery of the anointing is very deep. I'm telling you. See, you can begin to meditate and see how God will use an animal and give a perfect message to a prophet. Balaam. Amen. Do you know that some of the most inspiring songs, gospel songs that are sung, they are sung by unconverted people? But if you listen to the lyrics, if you listen to the composition, I'm telling you, you will know that that song came from heaven. And yet, the person singing it, if you see, she is worse than a masquerade. She's dressing naked, showing nothing that relates to that God she is worshipping. Yet, that song came from God himself, through that vessel. That is why some of those songs, amen, I don't like watching their video. Oh yes. I don't like watching their video. And on our channel, we have a way of playing those songs without the video. Because those songs are from the Holy Ghost, from the throne of grace, but through unconverted vessels. Can God do it? Yes. That's the mystery of the anointing. That is why we say, it is not by your gift we will know you. He giveth his gift to all flesh, even to the rebellious. Yes. Because one songwriter says, I know his name. I know his name. His name is Jesus Christ. I know his name. Now, if you look at it, if you say, I know his name, this name, yet, you say you know the name, and all the Pentecostal churches are singing, I know his name. But when you say, go and baptize in that name, they refuse. So even the person singing the song, he's only singing by inspiration. He doesn't even know what he's saying. Because you tell him now, do you know his name? What is his name? Jesus. He said, go and baptize in his name. He will not baptize in that name. That's the mystery of the anointing. Knowing him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Why will you say, this is eternal life? That they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, that they will have to know him. The truth about it is that you now understand the popular scripture we quote so often in a ministry like this. When Jesus asked, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter got the answer. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Now Jesus added there, Peter, you are correct, but flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Except God reveal him to you. The same thing also in John, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10, verse 22. Let's read it. Luke chapter 10. The same thing. Verse 22. All things are delivered unto me, of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father. Can you see? Nobody knows who Jesus Christ is. Only he who sent him, the Father. And the next statement. And no one knows who the Father is. Nobody knows who the Father of Jesus Christ is, but Jesus only. Only the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal who his Father is. Oh, glory be to God. See how he was confusing them in John chapter 14. I go to my Father, speak to my Father, go to my Father. Philip said, show us the Father now, we will not disturb you. We'll be asking, who is the Father? What did he say again to confuse them? Have I been so long with you, Philip, and you still don't know me? Have I not told you if you see me, you see the Father? Why are you saying again, I should show you the Father? Another confusion. Hallelujah. Nobody knows who Jesus Christ is. Only this Father knows who he is. And nobody knows who the Son is. Only the Father. Nobody knows who the Father of Jesus Christ is. Only the Son, Jesus, knows who his Father is. And you will only know him if Jesus himself revealed his Father to you. That statement is more than it's written there. Everybody is reading it. It's deeper than that. Do you know him? Yes, I know him. Do you know him? Yes, I know him. Brother, are you sure you know him? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why even concerning salvation, nobody, verse 44, John chapter 6, no one can come to Christ except the Father who sent him draw you. That's another mystery. Nobody can come to Christ. Nobody. But they forgot so loved the world. They gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes. Salvation is for everybody. That's why Apostle Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Uh-huh. So, you need to know this. See, salvation is deep, and that is where I just want you to, just a little thing I want to drop that may help somebody here. See, the time is too short to play religion. The perilous time spoken about is fulfilling our time. Perilous times, dangerous times, uncertainties hang over the whole earth. All the leaders of the world now, none of them is sleeping with two eyes closed now. Something is going on. There is confusion everywhere. Watch the news. The Jews are getting ready. Israel, they are getting ready. They know whatever is happening in the Arab world, they are the targets. They know. They know it. They know it. Something is set to happen. And the leader of the Jews, he said, what happened during the Holocaust can never happen to them again. Of course, affliction shall not arise a second time. That means they are prepared. That's what they are saying. They are prepared. This nonsense happening in northern Iraq. They are taking over that aspect, that part. They have come to Jordan now. They are coming near the borders of Israel. And Israel is saying, you try and step here and see. They are not making empty boasts. They are preparing and they are getting ready. Hallelujah. Nations are breaking. Israel's are waking. The sign that the prophet foretold. The Gentile is numbered with harrows and combat. Eternity soon will unfold. Hallelujah! The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are filling with fear. Be filled with the Spirit of your life. Look up! Look up your redemption. False prophets are lying, God's truth they are denying, that Jesus, the Christ, is our God. Though this generation show God's revelation, we walk where the apostles have told. Hallelujah! The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing of fear. Be filled with the Spirit. Your love streams and clear.
Look up your redemption.
Look up. That's why I'm so passionate about what I'm saying. After all, it's being recorded. Somebody will also hear it. Who is not hearing me now? Even sitting down here with ears, but you cannot hear. One day the ear will open, you will hear. That's why I'm saying it the way I'm saying. Praise the Lord. When Jesus Christ says in John chapter 6, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What he's saying there is not what you see some churches carry bread and wine. I said they have invoked, turn it to the literal body of Jesus Christ and to the literal blood of Jesus Christ, and they call it Holy Eucharist. Nothing like that. That's not the meaning. The same way they carry you to water baptism, I baptize you according to Matthew 28 verse 19, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, put you inside water and bring you out. We have baptized as it is written. The Holy Eucharist, we have turned the water, the bread to body of Jesus Christ. And the blood now. Now this blood, yes, this is the real blood of Jesus. And people will believe it. Then they will go sanctimoniously and bring out your tongue and put the sign, and to them they have eaten the flesh of Jesus. The body, the blood of Jesus. Nothing like that, though. Except you eat my flesh. To eat it there is to put it, understand it. Eh? Have you heard this terminology? Look, digest what I am telling you now. Have you heard it before? Eh? Have you heard that English terminology? Eh? That phrase. Make sure you digest what I am telling you. Now, can you digest what you have not eaten? Thank you. So that you'll understand Bible language. When he says, except you eat, you let it enter your digestive system. His blood, the significance of his body and the significance of his blood that was offered on the cross on Calvary, unless you digest it, you will never have eternal life. That's why he said, knowing him is eternal life. Eternal life is in knowing him. If you don't know him, how can you have life? And you can never rise above the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. He said, therefore, Peter, upon this rock, the rock of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's what I want to explain to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to understand salvation. I want you to understand John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why Jesus made that boast that no man coming to the Father except by me. So that you will not just be quoting it as you are quoting your Sunday school classes in your children's church. Or you are quoting it in your Christian religious knowledge to pass your exams. Praise the Lord. Because no religion. Because see, concerning salvation, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24 referred to Jesus Christ as the wisdom of the power of God and the wisdom of God. He said Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom, hallelujah, and the power of God. Is God's wisdom. Wisdom for what? Power for what? So that you understand why Jesus said, I am the way. No man can come to the Father except by me. Praise the Lord. No religion on earth can produce the true image of God. Remember, the purpose of the creation of man, Genesis 1:26. Let us create man in our image, in our likeness. Amen. But something happened that corrupted it. And instead of being in the image of God, all human beings have become the image of Satan. It's a mystery of iniquity. But nothing can defeat God's purpose. The wisdom he used to bring us back to that image, he used Jesus Christ. The power he used to bring back his children back to himself for redemption is Jesus. No man, no religion can produce the true image of God in any man outside of Christ. None. No religion can bring a man to stand in righteousness before God. No religion on earth. None. Satan has gone too far. They're all lies of the devil. Outside of Christ, you are finished. And I'm saying this, Apostle John, where we read, he said, that which we have seen, that which we have touched, he is a true witness. I am also a true witness that a sinner can be converted. And it is on that note that I can stand and talk to every sinner that you can be converted. That there is a power that converts. There is a power that converts. I am not saying from a Bible school experience. I didn't go to any Bible school. Hallelujah.
And nobody has a right to preach when you are not converted. Nobody has a right to hold this Bible in any way and go and begin to talk about salvation to the lost when you yourself, you are not converted. What is the evidence of the reality of God? You show it first in you. First in you. First in you. That's the problem with Christianity. That's why I say that there are false witnesses and there are true witnesses, preachers, ministers. Yes, there are a set of people that were living a very useless life. Then they had an experience that transformed them. Convert. You know the meaning of convert? Convert is to change the original nature to another nature. That is the meaning of convert. To be converted. See, this pulpit here can be converted to something else, but it has to undergo some process. And every conversion undergoes a process. And unless you have been converted from this structure to another structure, and you are standing and say, I am converted, when we say you are a liar, you are not converted. You are still the same thing. You are still the same thing. And people say they have met with God, but the life you live shows us you have not met with God. You have not met with Christ. And there's a difference between self-righteousness and the righteousness that cometh by the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows, it reflects big difference. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Salvation is a mystery. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Then he started, God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified. God was justified in the spirit. God was seen of angels. God was preached unto the Gentiles. God was believed on in the world. God was received up into glory without controversy. It happened. Amen. Salvation is a mystery. And anything that is a mystery is something that has been covered up. It is coded. And only he who coded it can decode it. Concerning salvation, the author and finisher of our salvation, he himself decided to code it. Hallelujah. It is encoded. Until, and only him has the ability to decode. You can't even hack it. You can't hack it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can't hack it. You'll be seen. You know what it means to hack it? Because there are people that have found themselves in the church and professing Christianity and manifesting gifts. Genuine gift of the Holy Ghost, but they themselves, they are not saved. You are a hacker. You are a hacker. Because you know that those who are born again, they manifest the gift of the Spirit. So, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That is the hacking code. Then they come among the genuine ones. And then they receive the same rain. But the foundation of God standeth. Let me tell you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can deceive yourself, but you can't deceive God.
There's a parable in the Bible of the mustard seed. The kingdom of God is as a mustard seed, which is the least of all seeds. It says the smallest of all seeds. He said, when it is planted, it grows and becomes a tree with branches, and the fowls of the air come to perch on the branches. He's talking about the church. The least Jesus Christ rejected. Hallelujah. A mere carpenter's son, an unknown person, was the only seed, that mustard seed that was planted. Hallelujah. When he resurrected, amen. Hallelujah. He established his church and started it with only 120 members. But now, that insignificant mustard seed has grown now. And the birds of the air, they all come to perch on the branches. Everybody now, I am a Christian, speaking in tongues, miracle signs and wonder. Everybody is a pastor, reverend, doctor, professor, apostle, chief and small one. All arch and small bishops. Everybody, under Christ. Hackers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a mystery that is producing the bride of Jesus Christ. It's a mystery for salvation. Revelation chapter 10. Can we read it now? Verse 7. Let me fire on small. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. And we are looking at today that mystery, the mystery of God. That is what we are looking at, the mystery of God. The mystery of God. That is what we are looking at today. Praise the Lord. Now it's important that I say something. When you are reading the sermon books of William Branham, please pray for the Holy Ghost to grant you understanding. If not, that same sermon books that you read will end up confusing you the more. That same sermon book, unless God helps you to understand who William Branham is and why he was talking the way he was talking and saying certain things. Because I have heard William Branham say, I've heard it in the tapes, not so many of them, where he says, is it not written that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, all the mysteries will be revealed? He said, all the mysteries will be revealed. That is the way he put it. And he's quoting Revelation 10:7. And we know Revelation 10:7 is his ministry. Now, for those who read that portion, they look at it and begin to say that William Branham has revealed all the mysteries. There is no other mystery that is left again. That's why they say thunder has been revealed. We are now in the millennium. We are now in this and all the rest, everything, yama yama that is going on in the followership of the minister of William Branham. But church, amen, amen. The ministry of Jesus Christ was a messianic ministry. Amen. And the ministry of William Branham was also a messianic ministry. Now, listen, when we say messianic ministry, listen, church. Jesus Christ came to pull out in the second Exodus. Because remember, the first Exodus, Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, he said, the Lord will raise up a prophet like unto me. And who was he referring to? Jesus Christ. And he was warning them that they should listen to him. If you don't listen to him, you will be destroyed. So the ministry of Jesus Christ was likened to the ministry of Moses. In what way? Moses pull out the children of God from Egypt. Jesus Christ came and pulled out the children of God from the law to grace. The third Exodus, because we have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three is God's number for completion. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three Exodus. The third Exodus is William Branham to pull the bride of Jesus Christ in this age out of the denominational bondages. Now, listen. The ministry of Moses. Moses had to be taken away so that Joshua will continue to the promised land. And what was the ministry of Joshua? Joshua had the ministry of establishing the people. You, this tribe, this is your own. You, this one, this is your own. He established them in the promised land. He took them there and established them. Jesus Christ also had to be taken away for Joshua ministry to be activated. And Joshua ministry is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And when you come into Christ, our promised land, the Holy Ghost positionally places you. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, placing you wherever you are supposed to be for the work of the ministry. There are things Jesus Christ spoke. He said, you will not understand now, but when the Comforter will come, he will cause you to remember. He will teach you all things. Now, the same sign that followed Jesus followed William Branham again. The messianic ministry. So that he will call the attention of the bride in this age to come out and follow him. The same pattern, God took him away. While he was alive, he was saying so many things that his own ministry must also produce the fivefold. There must be apostles that will cause us to understand what William Branham was saying. What he meant. It's not everything William Branham said that is taught, said a lot. They will never like what I am saying. It's not everything he said that is taught, said a lot. Now, William Branham now said that the whole mysteries, and so there are entire message believers that quote chapter 10 verse 11 Revelation. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished. Even me, I was quoting it like that before. You know, there's a way you have confidence in some people. They were there before you, so anything when they talk, you say, go carry on, they continue. They cannot, they are not making a mistake. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you know the Bible very well? You know the Bible very well. Can you quote Philippians 4 verse 19? Can you quote it? Quote it, let me hear. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19.
My God shall supply all your needs according to.
Say it very loud.
Now. My God shall supply all my needs according to riches in glory.
Now we always quote it like he's quoting. But my God shall supply all your needs. But do you know that there is no S in need? It's one need. But my God shall supply all your need. He didn't put S. If you put S there, the meaning will change. Praise the Lord. But we quote it like that because we met the big, big ones quoting it like that. Until you are reading it. And you are reading it through the eyes of those you respect. I've given you this example before. She's sitting somewhere there now, maybe. One of those my girls for house. When they were in the university. The university students, universities were closed. On strike. And they were opening some of them. And some were not being opened. They were not being opened. So in the morning, I got my newspaper. And I read and I saw that the schools, some schools were opened. And it included her school also. So, I was very happy that at least now she will go back to school. Then I called her from the kitchen. I said, come. They have opened all other schools, so be your own. They never open. Read it here. Then she took it and read. Reading it, where it is written clearly, her school is among the schools that have been open. But she read it and was reading it with what I told her in her mind. And she said, after reading it, she said, ah, why now? Why do no one open our school now? I said, read it again, read it very well. He says, I have read it. I don't know why they don't want to open my school. Then I said, that is how the denominational believer is. I said, read it. Because I told you. So you were reading it with what I told you in your mind. Instead of seeing what is written there, that is the average Christian for you. Praise the Lord. So also it is with William Branham's ministry. You know, because William Branham said it, and everybody were re-echoing it, even me, that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished. It is not mysteries. It is one mystery. One mystery. That is the mystery I want us to carefully look at today.